The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning to the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I worked as a chaplain at St. Joseph's Hospital in Atlanta, chaplains were given responsibility for the dead. It was a Catholic hospital, and this was how they lived out their belief that the body was very, very sacred. When someone was approaching death, the chaplain was called to the bedside where we spent time with the patient and the family. If death was unexpected, it was the chaplain who notified the family. Chaplains filled out all of the paperwork and made the organ donor and the iBank calls. When the body was transported to the morgue, a chaplain went with. When the funeral home picked up the body, it was the chaplain who opened the morgue, retrieved the body, and escorted it to the waiting hearse. In all my time working at St. Joseph's Hospital, I never, ever had to worry that the dead wouldn't stay dead. Wasn't it Ben Franklin who said, "Nothing in this world is certain except death and taxes"? Today, though, the women go to the tomb to anoint the three-day dead body of Jesus. Jesus was dead beyond the shadow of a doubt. Crowds of people had watched him die on the cross. He had been placed in a rock-hewn tomb. They rolled a stone in front of the tomb, and he'd been in there for 3 days. But when the women arrived, there wasn't even a body in the tomb. The women were perplexed. Confused. When you go to a tomb to anoint the body is supposed to be there. Instead, the women now see two men in dazzling clothes and they're terrified. These men tell the women that Jesus isn't in the tomb anymore. He's risen, remember? Why are you looking for him? He told you he would die and rise again, remember? Isn't that the way of hindsight? We're told something and it doesn't always make sense at the time. But standing there in the empty tomb, Jesus' words begin to make sense to the women. And the women are sent to tell the story of the empty tomb to the disciples and to all the rest. The women have gone from perplexed and confused to terrified. And now they're the first preachers. But the disciples struggled with their news, even though they too had heard it before. They call the women's story an idle tale. The Greek word leros is actually a bit stronger. The disciples found the women's words to be garbage. The tale the women tell of an empty tomb is garbage. Even disciples know that the dead are to stay dead. Wouldn't it have been easier for the disciples if Jesus had stayed dead? Theologian Thomas Long writes that if the tomb is now empty and Jesus didn't stay dead, then life will get a whole lot harder. The disciples won't be able to do the appropriate mourning and then head back home. They won't be able to return to their pre-Jesus lives and their day jobs. If Jesus isn't dead, their lives will be different. The disciples will be given a new title. The title is apostles, a word which means those who are sent. Like the women sent to share the news, the apostles will be sent to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth to tell people about the empty tomb. For the apostles, there will still be death, arrests and shipwrecks, stonings and persecutions. But if the disciples believe the women's story, that the tomb is empty and Jesus rose from the dead, then the truth is, the story is not ending. The story is just beginning. Death is no longer the end. There is now life. The apostles will experience the wild release of the Holy Spirit, the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth, and heaven forbid, even Gentiles will be welcomed into their community. Now there's no turning back from an empty tomb. The proverbial cat is out of the bag. The impossible has become possible in God's hands. There is now life after death, and when that happens, our lives too are forever changed. The change for us is to live now as if the impossible is indeed possible. For us to live knowing that disease, poverty, discrimination, economic insecurity, these don't have the final word. To live knowing the resurrection makes a difference beyond today's beautiful Easter lilies and the absolutely gorgeous music. To live knowing that the resurrection changes everything. Sometimes the resurrection comes on this side of the grave. Sometimes the resurrection comes on the other. Amid what feels like death in our lives, though, God will give us the eyes to see the resurrections daily in our midst. One of our preschool families has adopted 3 children from the foster care system. Daily, daily resurrections of life from death happen in that household. When a spouse passes away and the widow finds another vocation or another love, finds joy in family and friends, that is life after death. When a young adult drifts away from the church for years and then feels a nudge to enter that family worship space again, that is life after death, and we rejoice. Christ Lutheran Church in Cullman was tragically destroyed by the tornadoes of 2011. There's a picture on their website of a pile of bricks. It's the pile that used to be their building. Faith Lutheran played a part in that rebuilding of their new beautiful facility, which was dedicated in 2013. And now, after many, many years of interim ministry, this congregation is in the call process for a full-time pastor. Back from life, from death to life. As with many of you, I watched the news in horror as 3 churches in St. Landry Parish, Louisiana, were set fire to and burned to the ground in the span of 10 days in April. I watched again this week as the Notre Dame Cathedral was ravaged and destroyed by flames. We here may live to see and experience the life coming out of those sure and certain deaths. Finally, a pastor several of us know from Atlanta beat breast cancer in 2013, only to have it metastasize in her lungs. She outlived her initial prognosis, her death sentence. She now spends the time between experimental treatments lobbying for health care coverage and working with the youth in our synod. She recently told Oprah magazine that she attends every single one of her daughter's cross-country meets. The cancer in her lungs makes cheering difficult, but she's still there, every meet, now ringing a brass bell. This woman is alive as anyone I know. The tomb is empty. The dead didn't stay dead. God did the impossible, defeating death to give us life. Amen and Alleluia.